The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. We're broadcasting live from Taconic High School. We try to do it at least once a month. I personally love doing it. And because this is a wonderful educational institution, and I mean it from my heart. I come through here, the kids are excited, the staff is excited, and it's like 7:30 in the morning, dudes. You know what I mean? So, and with me today, I have someone I have the utmost respect for. He's the principal of this school. He's a wonderful guy. His name is Dr. Matthew Bishop. And good morning, Dr. Bishop.
Good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me.
I'm so used to it.
I know. It's funny. It's a little weird. It's weird for me as well.
But, yeah. I can't tell you. You know, I love coming in this school. There's an energy that I don't have that I get when I come in here. Now I feel like I'm a kid again, you know. And the other thing, and I say this every time I'm at Taconic, I'm an old Army guy. And old Army people that are out there realize when you come in, the first thing you look at is the floors. This school is open from like early morning to mid-evening. This place is spotless. I want to take and compliment your entire maintenance staff and Mr. Drury, who's the head of it, and you, who ensure it all gets done.
They do a great job. We know one of the things we keep trying to say is we are very grateful for the investment the community has put into us, right?
Yeah.
We do feel a responsibility to make good on that investment and try to keep this place as neat and clean as possible. Yeah. It does see a lot of traffic. The community's in here quite often. I mean, we have a big craft fair this Saturday, everybody.
Yeah, that's right.
But we have, I was here till about 5:30 last night, and you know, people are still coming and going. We have practices. You know, we have our amazing cheerleaders now that we have revamped. So we have over about 50 students in our cheerleading program. So, it's our theater was here rehearsing for our murder mystery dinner theater we have coming up. So it's a lively place. It's a busy place. But I do want to echo, we are extremely appreciative of our custodial staff because they're here three shifts, right? They're here 24 hours a day.
And the whole there's an atmosphere, and there's an atmosphere of positivity, excitement. You just feel good when you come in, and it's not just me. You're walking, and the kids are walking, and you know I would be remiss if I didn't mention. And I know you got marvelous teachers in every topic and every course. Excuse me. But your horticulture program with Mr. Callahan, my wife, I have to say this now for everybody listening, we bought plants in, honest to goodness, about a month ago, not even a month, they finally died. We put them in the trash. They lasted all summer.
Yep.
And then you have a guy that I can speak to his work, Mr. DeMarco, in the teaching to be an electrician, he's done work for me. When I look at the caliber of teachers, they're not just educated, they're experienced. And they're taking that experience, and these kids are very lucky kids.
Yeah. If we could talk about our vocational staff for a minute, I don't think enough credit goes or enough realization goes into how hard they have to work to be a teacher.
I hope I'm helping.
It's not as easy as you would think, right? Because you need to be a teacher. Like when I went through teacher school, right? I had to go through and, I had my degree in history. I was a history teacher. And so I had my degree. And then I went to school and I got my minor in education. And then I ultimately got my master's, right? But for our CTE teachers, and it's program dependent a little bit,
right?
But they have to have not only the education piece, right, college, but they have to have the industry experience. So they kind of have like an extra layer.
Right.
And then when they want to get their license, there's a whole nother set of regulations and things they have to accomplish, right? So they not only have to take the teacher's test for
right.
communication and literacy, but they have to also take a test to prove that they do know their subject matter. So like they have extra requirements, they have
right.
extra assessments. And so the road to be a CTE teacher is a little more difficult. And we are so lucky to have the staff we do.
Oh, you are.
Every single one of our – all of our teachers, but particularly our CTE staff, they're welcoming, they're kind, they know what they're talking about, and they care about their program.
And that's what I picked up.
Yeah.
From both of those men. They're all the same, every discipline, but those two I happen to know personally. They're totally invested in their kiddos.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. And there's – like I look at Mr. Callahan. He takes his kids, he takes a plant from a seed
yep.
to this blooming. Now he's got a backhoe or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I thought I'd be seeing him driving around when I drove up this morning. But and the same with when you think about teaching kids to be electricians.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my father told me two things you should never do, Billy Boy. Anything with electricity or anything with the oil burner, because you just don't have the skills. No, but and it's true. But these kids come out, Matt, they come out ready for work.
Right, right. I tell you a little, we'll stick yeah. on the horticulture piece for a minute, just because that's a program I know a little bit better because yeah. both my kids are in it.
Oh,
so
cool.
I had one graduate and one current
oh, cool.
in it. So yeah, we you wouldn't know it by looking at my yard, I'm just saying. But that's all right. They're getting the skills.
Look at a carpenter's house.
Yeah. But I have, there's a great example of you know, there's a number of students who are going through that program, right? And we can talk about our co-op program
right.
in a minute, but they have developed in the co-op program, they've learned these amazing skills. And I know a few of them have even started their own side business as young
yeah.
adults, right? And so, like, what we're seeing is what kids are coming out of here with. It's not just these skills, but it's this idea of entrepreneurship. It's this idea of, okay, I can do this.
Yeah.
Even if... And this is one of the great sort of, I wouldn't call it a myth, but one of the great misconceptions of what we do is that, oh, every kid leaves here and does what program they're in for the rest of their life. That's not necessarily true,
no.
but a lot of our kids develop these skills and use them to get further ahead.
You're exactly right.
Right. And whether it's in that discipline or something completely different. We've had a number of kids, you know, go through these programs, gather these skills, and then like cosmetology, for example.
Yeah.
We have a lot of students who earn their Cosmo license that go on to work in the field, but some will use it as a part-time job to help put themselves through college
yep.
or to support themselves from there out and do something completely different, which is why I feel like vocational education, it doesn't limit your options. In fact, gives you more options than most high school students, right? That's why I'm glad my children chose
yeah.
it, because I felt like there were more doors open for them when they left this place than had they gone to a traditional high school.
You, the people who saw Taconic, who envisioned Taconic, and then you and Tammy Gage, I can't say enough good about Tammy Gage and you guys, because you opened it with the attitude and the atmosphere that still exists today. Positivity. We're here to teach you. You're here to learn. We're here to help you.
Yeah.
And you both deserve a lot of credit for that, and I don't mind giving it to you, because it still emanates. It's
yeah.
when I came in, and you know I made a note. I'm getting like the kids. This was visionaries who saw this. What do you hear on the news now, nonstop? The trades.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
AI is going to do away. I watched that guy. You probably did. The guy that came up and talked to the school committee about new curriculums,
oh,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I interviewed him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Afterwards. Jonah or something. Boy, these kids are on the cutting edge.
Yeah.
They really are. And somebody, we need to thank somebody way back for envisioning the Taconic that exists today?
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because just we've only been open for 8 years.
I know.
And there was a little blip with COVID, right? We kind of put a pause on that. That was a weird year or two. But when we opened, we only had 8 programs. This space had been stopped, right? Like we were going to have this program, and then in the build, they decided to not continue it. So we were kind of like a shell, and we said, all right, let's get these 8 programs going. And we were largely a comprehensive school, meaning we sort of had CTE pathways and then non-CTE pathways in the school. And then what we realized very quickly is that we, as we started to slowly add programs, right? So we started 8, we're now at 15, and with 16 hopefully coming soon.
I heard.
Yeah. And so we've almost doubled what we have. And we realized really quickly that we could support and sustain an all CTE model. And I think what was attractive to people was that there is this, like, I've gone to a lot of classes, right? And one of the things I try to think about when I'm in a class is like, how does this going to help me in what I want to do?
Sure.
There's a lot of relevance, right? I look for relevance. And I think students can see there's a real world education they're getting here, right? And again, it's both in the program and out of the program, right? Like by going all to our CTE programs has allowed our non-vocational classrooms to lean in, because every student they have now is in a program.
Right.
Right.
So
we're figuring out ways we lean into that, like our math program. I know we talked a little bit about math before, but we just embedded a new math program that's based in careers. Right. So it's called Pathways to Careers is the name of the math program. And every math. So this is for algebra and geometry. Every one of the examples is based in some type of career.
Cool.
And the problems, it's like I was in a class the other day and they were talking about parallel lines and bisecting lines, and they showed train tracks and talked about and they interlaid train tracks over these lines, and it really helped you visualize why this the real world application of why you're using this. And then it talked about the careers that would use this type of thinking. So in the scope and sequence of that curriculum, students are exposed to 600 careers that they might not normally get to see and learn. I was in another math class where they were talking about area. They were trying to find area, and the example was a gentleman in the problem was a gentleman who did terrazzo floors, right? So they were talking about a terrazzo floor installer, and it was really neat because we have a beautiful terrazzo floor here.
I know you do.
Downstairs, and to see the connection made when we said, "Hey, do you know what a terrazzo floor is?" And kids are like, "Eh." It's like you walk on one every day.
Yeah.
Right? And think of that. And then it just like was like it immediately had this this motivation and intrinsic motivation to try to understand the math just a little bit more, because they kind of could see what it was talking about as opposed to just letters and numbers.
When I was in school with Plato and Socrates, we had a teacher teaching geometry. Mm-hmm. Can't think of her name now, Mrs. I think it might have been Powers. It might not have. But she brought in a tabletop pool table and showed us angles.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm an old man, and I still remember that like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Because she added relevance and reality to abstract stuff.
Yeah.
And you know what? And I have to – you're an educator, and I mean that very complimentary. You are truly an educator. What's your gut when you hear, well, we're doing away with cursive, it's old fat. We're not going to do algebra anymore because it's hard. Or, well, I think back on a Kennedy comment. We're going to put a man on the moon by the end of this decade.
Yeah.
Not because it's easy, but because it's hard.
Yeah.
And life's hard.
Right.
So to take all these things away because they're hard.
Yeah, you know, we talk a lot about this. As a school, as a profession, when I get with other principals, we talk about things like this. This is a fascinating time, and I feel like we have access to almost unlimited knowledge.
Unlimited,
right? Like it. I go back to even when I remember, and I'm okay. I just hit the 50 mark, so I'm feeling some type of way about that. But
wait, you see these socks? They're 50.
Yeah, I was listening to, my son and I were driving in this morning. We were listening to Bruce Springsteen's Born to Run album. I said, this came out 50 years ago.
Yeah.
I can't believe that. But the music I was, when I was his age, 50 years ago, music was like, didn't have words. It was like swing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But anyway, we talk about like we're in this age where things are different.
Yes.
And we have access to all this. And the skills now become, you know, not what can I find. Like when we had to do research paper and we had to open the encyclopedia.
The library.
Yeah, go to and I remember our family's prized possession was those World Book encyclopedias, right? Like we felt like, my parents felt like that was one of the greatest things they did for our education was be able to buy.
Got them at the AMP.
Yeah, well, we had the guy coming door to door, right?
Wow.
We bought them, but they were, that was so important for our education to have a set of encyclopedias, right? That we're way past that. So there's different skills. So I think what we're trying to teach people is how do you evaluate, right? And how do you think?
Oh, excellent.
Right? Like, because that's really going to be the marketable skills that people are looking for is things are so procedural. I can go, my newest hobby is, don't make fun, is baking sourdough bread, right? Like, so like that's the newest thing, right? Like it's the gateway to homesteading, that's what they say. But we'll see if we have chickens and stuff in a year from now. But who knows? My wife's ready to kill me. But but I ended up just going online and just, you know, click, 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 and it was procedural. And but now I'm you can learn anything is my point. But it's evaluating which things I wanted to do, how I wanted to do it, sifting through the information. And that's what we're trying to do here, because you can get anything, you can learn anything, you can do anything, but you got to know what's good information, what's bad information, what's useful information, you know. And I think that's where our programs come in, right? Because we're setting kids up for these real world problems.
Yes.
You know,
and,
that they
and
have
to, how to deal with them.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody is me saying to me, excuse me, is me saintly Irish mother used to say, God rest her soul. No one goes through this life unscathed.
Right.
And if we can teach people to deal with the issues, you know, not to be modeling. But I was 19 years old when I went to Vietnam. You grow up fast there.
Yeah.
With no training, just a basic instinct to survive. What you're doing here is you're putting in these techniques that, you know, to help people or help kiddos say, listen, there's going to be bumps in the road in life.
Yeah.
But here's how to deal with it.
Right. And actually, I have a story. Well, one of the things I love about this particular program, right, is this show right now is being produced by students.
Exactly. Right? Like, that's why I love doing it.
Right. Like the teacher's here.
Yeah.
Right. He's kind of the overseer, but the kids are making the decisions. The kids are making the choices, which camera, like, you know what I mean? Like, hopefully they get my good side. There's something in it for them later.
Well,
if they
in my case, unless I turn around, they're out of luck.
But so, for example, I did a podcast with this crew, I don't know, a month or so ago. And we kind of had a plan. We went in there, and there was a student in with us who helped produce it, right? She was kind of there. And we kind of put her on the spot a couple of times, and she all of a sudden became an integral part of the podcast and stole the show.
Yeah.
Like, it was – and it was that ability to kind of, like, contribute and think and, you know, and still do what she was there to do. It just – some of these things, and that's what I appreciate so much about our students is they're being put in situations day in and day out, both in the classroom and in their programs, where they have to think critically. And we're really
– in the real world.
In the real world. And our focus this year is – we keep saying, how do we make student thinking visible?
Right.
That's our focus. Like we're on the, our theme next year is like creating cultures of thinking.
Oh, cool.
Right. And we're getting ready for that this year by really looking at where and how we're asking students to make their thinking visible. Right. So not just say, you know, what's the answer?
Right.
But what's the answer and why do you say that? What makes you say that? Right. So we're.
Instead of just wrote.
Like, you know, and we're trying to ask things and put kids in situations in which there's not a clear answer.
Yeah, and that's life.
That's life. and it's the complex nature of our society. Like, there are so many things that just they're ambiguous. That's the word.
That's early morning.
It's early. It's 7:50.
I stay with a one-syllable word. But, you know, just to reinforce what you just said, two quick stories. When the old Taconic, I had this young lady. She came in, and I was interviewing her. And I said, and she told me she was in metal fabrication. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm talking a petite young lady. Mm-hmm. I worked in a shop. Most of those guys had rusty nails for breakfast, you know.
Yep.
And I said, why did you pick that field? And she said, well, my goal in life, to show you how kids think today, there's a lot of sharp kids. My goal in life is to be a nurse practitioner. I'll use my welding skills to pay for it.
Yeah.
So then I was doing a TV show over at the studio, and had all these, you know, volunteer camera folks, and I had this young fella. And so I said to him, so what made you go into culinary arts? Well, he said, I can get a good job as a chef, and when I get that, I will pay for my way to go through medical school. And then I'll build my mom the house she's always wanted. Mm-hmm. And I look around at all these big, tough guys in the camera. Yeah, I got something in my eye.
Yeah.
But the level, I guess the point I'm trying to make to the audience is, don't underestimate these kiddos and what they're thinking and their dreams. And,
right.
And I found working with the violent youthful offenders, we have to learn to listen, not formulate responses, just listen and digest what they're saying. And I think that's practiced here daily.
Yep, I agree. What I like we, one of the things we do here, we've implemented in the last few years, we have a freshman academy, right?
Yeah, so we call
Like a grade nine academy. And we realize, every high school realizes, right, that grade nine is the toughest year.
Yeah.
Across this country, grade nine, highest dropouts, most discipline, worst attendance, lowest grades, right? And it's kind of like it's a huge transitional year. I'm not sure there's a bigger transition year in K through 12 education than grade nine, or a harder one. So we've really tried to put supports around that. So when we talk with our ninth graders, and we try to we say like, what made you come here? Because it's possible that we don't get any students automatically anymore, right?
No.
So we rely on applications. We rely on students wanting to come here. We rely on being relevant, right? Because if people start to see us as not the type of education they want,
right,
we got to really think in the mirror. So we have to be important in kids' lives. So we ask them, why did you come here? Like, what did you see in here? And the stories you just told are echoing what we hear is we have kids that are very driven with very goals. And then we have some kids that said, I don't know. You know, I just wanted to try something else.
And that's okay.
And they find their path here,
And that's okay. I mean, nobody should have to make a life decision in the ninth grade.
Right.
But when they get here, look at what they're exposed to.
Right. Well, and that's actually, I'm not sure people understand that either, is that their first year here, they see all of our programs.
Yes.
They see all 15 of our programs to a certain degree. And then they spend a little bit more time in seven of them, right? And then they sort of start to narrow down and choose, and they spend some time in there. And then there's still options for a little bit of movement into 10th grade, because we know this is a hard, again, what you choose to spend your time here at Taconic doesn't mean that's what you're going to do the rest of your life either. So,
and a lot of them are stepping stones.
Yeah.
They use this to finance what they really want to do. Those two examples right there. And what an opportunity. And I think the people of Pittsfield and the people who worked on this Building Needs Commission and all those folks, they deserve a gold star. That's what the nuns used to do. Give you a gold star on your forehead. You probably won't, but I never got one. But we have a gem here.
Mm-hmm.
We have a gem, and a compliment to everybody here and everybody that's involved with the school. A gem that is carefully monitored and controlled in an educational sense every day.
Yep.
These kids know what to expect when they come in, and they know what the school expects from them. And we hear all this talk about education. I am concerned. We'll talk after the break a little bit about my experience with, and I spoke with the superintendent. I was totally impressed with the new interim superintendent. Her logic, her vision, her mannerisms to employ. I was just impressed, and that for folks that'll air one day soon. We are live from Taconic. For people that are just tuning in, morning show people are in and out, putting kids on a bus, getting them off the bus. I'm here with Dr. Matt Bishop, principal of the school, and I have to say it. I commend this building, and I am. Well, first of all, I'm tired. But then when I come in, I just am so energized from the front door, from kids opening the front door for an old fat bald guy like me. And everywhere, there's an energy, there's an atmosphere. You want to be part of it.
Yeah.
You know, if you didn't start so early, I'd come in and volunteer, but it's too early. But all kidding aside, you and your entire staff and all the school department, former superintendents, former committee members, needs to take credit. This is a gem.
Yeah, it's. I'm very proud of what we've done here.
I'm very proud of you.
And we hope the community is. And we invite anyone who has any questions to come in anytime, right? Like, because I think there is still a lot of misconceptions about what vocational education is.
Yeah.
What doors it opens for you. I think most people who don't understand or have looked into vocational education thinks it closes doors, but it's the exact opposite. It opens more than it closes.
Exactly.
All the research shows that vocational students are actually they're completing college at a higher rate than non-vocational
peers. I just
read
that article, yeah.
Yeah, they're more prepared, they feel more prepared, and their families are more satisfied with high school experience than non-vocational peers.
Don't you think they're more mature? I think because of you have to coordinate these.
Yeah.
The brain and the hands.
Well, and I think we put a lot of responsibility on that. I mean, I think, you know, you go into our programs and you have kids doing things that we have to have a lot of trust, right? Like you go into the auto tech shops. I mean, kids are welding. Kids are playing with live electricity. Well, not playing with. That makes it sound like
employing.
But they're working with it. But you know what I'm saying is like
I do.
You go into carpentry. There's saw like. We have a lot of responsibility placed on students, and they have to take it seriously. Safety is a big concern, and it's treated very carefully. So I think that helps. And then with co-op, right? So it is very the requirements for our co-op program. So for people who don't know, co-op is cooperative employment, where you instead of coming here, like you've done things in your program where you're at a certain level where you think like, okay. We think you can learn more by being in the real world.
Right.
Right. And so we send you out. We look for an employer. There's a match. And I want to thank the community has been unbelievable.
Yes, they have.
Taking our kids. And it's a school. It's a learning experience. And while most of them work out a couple times, you know, there's some learning. And so people have been really patient with us. They've been awesome. But we have our kids all over the county, all over Pittsfield, earning real wages. Spending wages in our local economy.
Yeah.
You know, and so like we feel like
learning real life skills.
Yeah. And so being on time, being, you know, all of that stuff. And I think that does contribute to what you were just talking about, that maturity.
Yeah.
Right. They have to be, you know, and to do it in a way that is their school. Right. And they almost have a coach.
Yeah.
Right, so you're going to they do have a coach, Kim Kona, who's our co-op coordinator.
Yeah,
she's fantastic.
Yeah.
But she keeps tabs on all of our co-op students. And so she'll talk with employers, how are they going? If there's any sort of problem, she pulls them in and helps them adjust. So it's like,
is that cool?
It's like a low stakes way to get a really important first job because you have a lot of support.
And
they're like, good jobs.
Like this young lady behind the camera here, she's kind of camera shy. she has been kind of my guide and mentor to get up. But now she's going to do a co-op.
Yeah.
We got about 30 seconds left. I did a co-op at PHS before any of you were born. And I was in distributive education, they called it. And I co-opted at England Brothers Department Store.
Wow.
In the men's department. And 2 years later, I was the youngest person ever to be promoted as assistant buyer.
That's awesome.
So that's why I'm big for Coon. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial with simulcasting on PCTV, channel 1301, Spectrum Cable.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Oh, yes! 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Will you be an angel for our WTBR DJs? Every day our DJs are cold, hungry, sad, and lonely, and they are crying out for help. For only 30 cents per day, WTBR can provide them with clean studios, microphones, audio board, and much, much more. Go to WTBRFM.com and click the donate button and become a friend of WTBR for only $8.97 per month. You can put some smiles on these faces. WTBR, for the love of radio.
El condado de los Berkshires se dirige hacia un mañana más brillante y ese futuro comienza contigo. Los Berkshires están al borde de caer en una gran crisis de salud mental debido a la falta de acceso, dejando algunos pacientes, especialmente niños, esperando meses para recibir la atención adecuada. Tú puedes ayudar abogando por ti mismo y por otros para encontrar carreras en la salud mental. Sé un héroe de la salud mental para los Berkshires. Para obtener más información, visita briancenter.org o namibc.org.
Tired of the same old on the radio? Hi, I'm Hannah. Each week I search the archives for hidden gems from your favorite artists, plus all the latest releases and rock trivia. Please join me for Deep Cuts, Thursdays, 4 to 6, at 89.7 WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we are back. It's live from Taconic, and in case you can't tell, I'm really excited. I love coming to Taconic once a month and doing this live show from and spotlighting it, highlighting it, whatever you want to call it. This is a wonderful, wonderful place. Learning is happening. We just had a bunch of kiddos come in that are going through a process of looking at the different opportunities. I'm here today with someone I have the utmost respect for. His name is Dr. Matthew Bishop, and he is the principal here. And Dr. Bishop, just the excitement. And I have to take 1 minute before you respond, to thank the students who got here ultra early to be prepared and to do. They are running the show. This is their broadcast. Teachers are present, but the production of this show is all done by students. I can't be more proud of all of them.
Yeah, same. Like I said, that's what we're looking in all of our programs, right? In our classrooms is we keep talking about how to be relevant.
Right.
And we know students are more motivated when things are real and meaningful. Even just an assignment, right? Like if you're writing an essay, but you know we're going to put it out there for public view,
right. You're
going to take that more seriously. So
right. We
see a lot of investment with students when we do shows like this, or we have the plant sale. Kids know that their stuff's going to be on, you know, when we go out to building projects, we've had really good partnerships with Habitat, and kids take pride in that, and they're really motivated to do a good job. And I think that gives them a sense of satisfaction that sometimes people don't get in other experiences in school.
It's hands-on real life.
Yeah. Yep.
You're learning. I'll never forget this folk teacher at PHS at the time. I'm making them use this and this together.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a lot to be said for that because you're learning, but you're also employing.
Right. Right. And I think, you know, it's funny because we're trying to not only instill it in the students, but we're trying to bring that to our staff. Like we talked a little bit earlier about cultures of thinking. And as we're trying to do that, we're trying to be a little innovative of how we do things. So, for example, I have to sort of just call out really quickly and thank Loretta Saldo, who's one of our art teachers. Like we're looking, like she is really embracing this concept of she teaches marketing. She teaches, drawing.
Yeah.
So she is actually going through different programs and partnering with the programs. And so instead of trying to get all of the students and put them in an art class for a year, we are taking the art teacher and bringing her into the programs.
How cool.
And how can we
apply? Innovative as heck.
Yeah. And how do we apply her talents and her discipline to programs? Because it's a little different per program, right?
I
think, you know,
a press release is different than an ad in a magazine.
Right. So she's actually she's going to be starting in January a full semester sort of project with our marketing, our business crew. She's going to be really doing some marketing stuff there, but she's also gone into like our automotive shop or our auto body, and she's done like color theory with them. Like, so it's not just like, oh, hey, this is how you paint a car.
Right.
It's, oh, hey, this is how you paint a car. And these are the colors you might want to think about because, you know, and that's really what I really want to take a moment to thank our faculty because, you know, from the moment we started this 8 years ago, we knew we had the opportunity to do something different. We don't want to just be another CTE school, right?
Right.
We want to be Taconic High School, and we want to be innovative. We want to do things differently. We want to be leaders in the state for you know, how we approach vocational education. So we're really experimenting with some of these sort
Isn't
of out-of-the-box ideas that seem to be paying off. And our faculty has really embraced that because they want to be innovative. And if we're innovative, that means the kids will be doing innovative things too.
And it's obvious, you know, I get here early because that's just the way I am. Old Army. I had a first sergeant in the Army used to say, if you're on time, you're late.
Yep.
So I'm sitting out in the car waiting before, and I watched the teachers come in, and they don't dilly-dally. They're, and it's not because of the weather. They get in here. They want to be here, and isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, I feel like, so I've been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
Right, and I feel... I'm glad you said it because I'm thinking about it, I do feel a little bit more defined purpose here in the last few years, right? Like we have a mission.
Yeah.
Like we've always had a mission, but I think
you're living it.
I think people can see it, right?
Like, and they're living it.
And so, you know, the students feel it. Like, you know, they're driven to these pathways and programs. They know they have classwork. They know they need their math, science, English, social studies, electives, but they also have their pathways. And I think, you know, we have goals set out and we encourage goal setting. We talked about our grade 9 academy. One of the things we did at the end of quarter one is we gave them, you know, we had them reflect on their progress. Sure. We gave them, you know, we do some standardized benchmarking on reading scores. We give them to them. We print them out. We sit down and we have them set a goal. Right. And the goal can just be, you know, wherever kids are at. But we really want to encourage these professional habits of staying involved, knowing what's going on and setting goals and trying to reach them. So like we really encourage. And I think that is translate. I think everyone knows, like, if you ask any student here, like what are you working on right now?
Yeah.
You know, or what do you want to do? They'll have some sort of answer.
I think back when I was in school, but like I said, with Socrates and Plato, but it was all like rote. You know, they wrote on the board, you read it, blah, blah, blah. But now what I hear, correct me if I'm wrong, but what I sense from these kiddos here and going through the school, this is experiential real-life learning where you incorporate why you need algebra.
Yeah. Yep.
Not just, well, I got to take algebra. What are you going to do with that? I don't know.
Right.
I repeat myself, but when you get to be my age, you can repeat yourself too. There's an atmosphere of learning, an atmosphere of success, and a positivity in this entire building, and all the kids I bump into.
Yeah.
That I don't always find.
Yeah, and I think, I think people can see something coming out of this for them, right? Like, so.
Oh, I think you're right.
And I think it's you know, the goals of most students are graduate and then some, right? Like, so I think there's a lot of students that, you know, come to school in general and just say, you know, my goal is just to graduate and then we'll figure it out. But like, I feel like a lot of our students have goals. Very solid goals in addition to graduation.
Yeah.
And then I want to, right? So you're always looking at that, okay, in order to do that, I need to make sure I'm doing these things in class or in my program or whatever. So I feel like students are really driven here and I think meeting their goals helps them feel better about school.
I also see, and again, I don't go to a lot of schools.
Yeah.
I also see a lot of interaction, just my little walks, with positive interaction between the teachers and the kiddos. Hi, Mr. So, what you got up today? There's a camaraderie between teachers and students, but I also sense there's a respect for both.
Yes. Yeah, and I think, you know, that looks to be defined, right? Like it's an interesting okay, I've been teaching for 30 years almost, right? And when I was teaching, I think respect, the concept of it has changed and evolved over time a little bit. And I think we're all trying to figure it out, right? Like what that means. And I think we've had some good conversations about, because I think, you know, I we're well past the era where anyone walks in and just respects an adult because they're an adult.
Oh yeah, that's
so like
that's kind of long gone
concept. But I love the you know, I've been part of Taconic since 1997, and one of the things I've always appreciated has always been true about this building, no matter if it was this one, that one, whatever iteration is we've tried to really show we've cared for kids. And that has, I think that has been one of the through lines through at least the last 30 years I've been part of this community. That hasn't changed.
I have to take my hat off to Joe Benjamin.
Yeah.
And the old Taconic.
Yep.
The kids, hey, Mr. Benjamin, I mean, I think he still teaches right here.
He subs with us all the time and it's great.
But he had built, as you have, and probably so many others, a relationship with the kids. You're getting the 21st century highest form of respect.
Yeah.
And you know, I was telling the superintendent about, I was how difficult it is to call a snow day. Because my peers, we walk the snow, it snow up to our chin.
Yep.
Yeah, well,
both ways.
Yeah. But we have, in this city, we have a lot of walkers.
Yep.
And we got to remember that. So don't compare us against Williamstown, because not a lot of kids walk in Williamstown or Lee. And we are an urban school district.
Yep.
And what I'm seeing is when they come to Taconic, some of the urbanness breaks away. And I see a community.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's what we're really trying. You know, part of our school-wide expectations is, right, take responsibility, have respect, strive for excellence. And I think we do that by trying to create this sense of belonging. We measure it, right?
Yeah.
We try. We do surveys. We talk about it. I do want to take a minute to talk about our portrait or graduate work, because
yes,
I think that really ties into this sense of community. So a number of years ago, we were involved with the Barr Foundation. We're very grateful for their support. That sort of got us thinking about, all right, what do graduates from here, what skills do you want them to have? And in conjunction with Drury and Pittsfield High School and some other schools that have now since joined, we really tried to be deliberate about what do we want these graduates to look like. And so we sort of agreed as a Berkshire collaboration what those skills are. And then we've now embedded those skills into our life here at Taconic. So we're saying, you know, I don't know how many kids could cite them verbatim.
Yeah.
You know, there's six of them, but I do know that if you ask kids about them, they'll all be able to talk about them in some type of way. And we are saying, you know, when you leave, you should have these six competencies. And when you get here, one of the first classes we make all freshmen take is a class that's evolved over the years called Strategies for Success. And that is your introduction to these competencies and the skills you might need to start reaching them.
Oh,
right?
Cool.
So we try to ensure that every freshman has some basic skills, you know, whether it's digital skills, social emotional skills, whatever they are, but we talk about those. And then by the time you graduate, our senior elective is all there's a capstone project that's evolving, but that's graded within those competencies. So you're going to get some feedback on, like, okay, the whole 4 years you're here, you're getting feedback on these things. But by the time you leave, you have to do whatever elective you take is going to be, you're going to do some type of project, right, that is going to give you feedback based on these things, right?
Wow.
So, like, we're trying to live them. And out of that work came, in our discussions with kids, came this idea of, like, student voice, right? Like, we need more student voice. So now what our portrait of graduate communities do, we've implemented student voice summits, right? So we have in January.
That's cool.
Yeah, so this will be our second year. Like, we've always done surveys. We've always, but this is a chance for the whole school to take a pause and we get into small groups and students facilitate the conversations with other students. The adults are in the room and their sole role is to take notes and sit on the outside and try not to say anything and let the kids have the conversations. And I think that's really helped. And the topics, so what started this whole dissertation was community.
Yeah.
Right? And so we talk in those small groups about what does it mean to be part of the Taconic community? What do we want? How can we be a better community? And the students have great feedback.
Yeah.
And so what we're trying to do is show them that, okay, we asked you this survey. Here's what you said. Here's what we're going to talk about. Here's what we did.
Oh, wow.
And that's the goal.
But it's real life.
It's real life, yeah.
When they come into this school, it's just an extension of their lives.
Yeah.
When I went to school, it was just a school, and then you went out and back to real life or whatever.
Right.
You've elongated their lives to include school.
Yeah. I mean, it's such an important part of – I mean, like, there are ways, if you're playing sports or you're in clubs, and you're here more in your home.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, for large chunks of time. And so we understand that. And we have to, you know, we want to make it a place where that's an enjoyable.
Yeah. Enjoyable. Yeah. Well, you know, another quick story. I had back in the old kind of, I interviewed this young lady who described herself initially as a wallflower.
Mm-hmm.
She came to Taconic. She was very shy. Her friends got her involved with drama.
Oh, yeah.
First in backstage stuff.
Yep.
And then a part non-speaking part.
Yep.
And then a speaking part.
Yep.
And she attributed that educational experience, because it is.
Yep.
Educational experience to her being able to come on. She said, if I hadn't had that, I'd never come on this program.
Yep. I love it.
Yeah. And I think to my peers, and some younger than me, all right, everybody younger than me, don't judge education like some of us had education, reading, writing, and arithmetic. There's so much more. And in my humble opinion, I'm not an educator, I'll tell you up front, but I am a person who observes, and I've been trained to be an observer. This place emanates energy, positive energy, real life experiences that some of these kids will remember when they're my age.
Yeah, actually, you made me think of in the last story about theater in particular. We're really proud of our theater program. There's not a lot of CTE schools that have a robust theater program.
Yeah, that's right.
In the Commonwealth, we do. We're fortunate. And I think that's part of the innovation we were talking about is, you know, it's more than just a club, right? In the arts, in some schools, it is a fabric of what we do. And our theater teacher, Caitlin Martin, is phenomenal.
Yeah.
But when you talk about real world, right? So we talked about we have a dinner theater coming up.
Yeah.
Right? That is going to be produced and directed or directed, I forget, but it's student. It's done
student
by
base.
Student base. So again, you know, she's sort of stepping back and sort of being the advisor, but really letting the students own these real world.
Think of that learning.
Yeah.
Think of that learning.
Yeah. So it's, you know, and this student is been big parts of all of our shows. And so this is the next step, you know, so and actually he's been a real big part of this program, Brendan Bales. I mean, he helped start this program, right?
Wow,
this particular
yeah.
program here. So he's, you know, he's taking what he's learned in here. He's applying it in theater, vice versa. He's one of the hosts of the Taconic TV news each week. If people get a chance to see that on YouTube.
Yeah. Isn't he a wonderful kid?
Great. Right, but
I know his family. I know his background, his family's history.
Yeah,
he's more mature than some of the people that are my age.
Yeah, and he's just and we're you know, and that's what I think the beauty of this place is there are opportunities for like we always talk about what do we want to learn in school, right?
Right.
What do we want to learn? What do we want our students to learn? And then we always talk about what happens when students aren't getting there. Like, how do we help them get there?
Right.
But then sometimes the forgotten question in education is, well, what do we do with kids who need to be pushed because they already have it, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like in our programs there are places to push students who already have it or who are there and give them these other really challenging opportunities. And I'm seeing that in all of our programs to certain extents as kids really being challenged, whether it's mentoring younger students in ways or being like like a teacher's aide almost for the younger kids.
Well, Brendan's a perfect example.
Yeah, or doing really complex projects or like Brendan creating this and producing and directing this dinner theater.
Well, look at these
kids. In a couple weeks, yeah.
This is real life. I mean, if this goes bloop, 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 it's on the bloop, 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 it's on them. But you've got, I want to help promote this. We've got the horticulture people have a situation coming up where you can buy Christmas wreaths and balls, a bunch of holiday stuff.
Yep.
And then you have a craft fair when?
This Saturday. Craft fair is this Saturday.
What time?
Oh, man. You're going to put me on. So I think... I am not sure, but it's on our Facebook page.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the average. So I don't want to say a time and have people show up at the wrong time.
But I didn't mean to put you on.
Yeah. But it's Saturday for
sure. Yeah, this Saturday.
Saturday morning.
And when you come to the craft fair, it's going to be right in the school?
In the gym. Yep.
In the gym.
Yep. Right, main doors. Come right in.
And just come in and tell me if you don't, one, see a spotless building, two, feel the energy here. There, and boy, I needed it when I got here. But we have to, for the naysayers, the people, like for WTBR, the people who said, "I'll just close it, just get rid of it." Well, I think this is an outgrowth, but I'm so happy we saved WTBR because it has become really well listened to channel.
Yeah.
We made our bones during COVID. We didn't miss a step.
I love it.
And, but what I see here, and I see the children, the students, and the teachers, and the excitement, and the abilities to do what they're doing.
Yeah.
Learned abilities in a real life setting, in a very technical, commercial, whatever field.
Yeah.
I don't mind paying my taxes.
Yeah.
I really don't. I got a fire department that'll be at my house no matter where you live in Pittsfield at most 6 minutes.
Yep.
I have a permanent police department. I got a heck of an educational system. And for those people that find fault, in a minute, I close the show and by this, and I mean it from my heart. It's easy to push somebody down. Today and through this season, through your life, try to lift people up.
Yeah.
You know, we're all in this together. We need each other. You have made, you and the entire team here have made a community. And as we refer to ourselves as Pittsfield Community Radio, Pittsfield Community Television, the main word in our title is community.
Yep.
And what I think back, and I'm drawing a blank on his last name, but one of your students, Jake, was killed in a plane crash while in the Air Force.
Yep.
I was almost emotional at the funeral when the teams that he played on came in.
Yeah.
With their Taconic paraphernalia.
Yeah.
And I, that's when it hit me between the eyes. Truly, Taconic has built and is maintaining a community.
Yeah, that was Jake Gallagher, was it?
Gallagher. Thank you, God. It's awful to get to be my
age. Yeah, no, and it was that when they brought him home, right? Like,
yeah.
Like we were here, and they drove by here, and the whole community came out.
Yeah.
When you talk about a community, the community at large, but the people who chose to see him here.
Yeah.
It was, we had a number of people that lined in front of the school, and that was a special moment, horrible situation, but a special moment to show strength in community, right? Like it is. Like our community in Pittsfield is better together, and I know there are so many people working to make that happen.
Yeah.
From the mayor to the city council to the school committee, everyone's trying to make that happen, and we are better together. And I appreciate your message of trying to lift people up because this is hard work. This is really hard work, and there are disagreements, but we all, I think, have the same goal, which is the best for each and every student that comes through this door. And I think there's common ground for all of us.
Oh, there. We need to put aside all our, you know, I started this program, and the mayor reminded me of it. He said, I always admired one thing you said, we can disagree, but we don't have to be disagreeable.
Yeah.
I watched, because in my age, you know, what else do you do at night? I watched the committee meetings, school committee, special meetings for you guys, but in the city council. And when I watched the open mic, I think, why are you so mean? You can ask a question, you can share a complaint or whatever, but one, have all the facts. You know, I'm an old cop.
Yeah.
And if you went to court without the facts, you look pretty silly sitting up on the stand. But why do you have to be mean? Ask a question, be cordial, and wait for the answer. I'm in case you can't tell, I'm a little burned out on mean people.
Well, we always talk about here, we talk about listening to understand as opposed to listening to respond. I think there's a difference.
I agree 100%. I learned that from my violent youthful offenders.
Right.
Principal Bishop, thank you so much for coming on. I hope people out there really see the real Taconic through us. And you can't see them, but they're making us happen. And before you criticize the old saying, walk a mile in my shoes. Education isn't what it was in the 50s, 60s, 70s, even 80s. It's a new world. It's this world, tech. And just remember, these people are doing the best they can I want to thank them for hosting us today. And I will tell you this, I'm not going to miss the thing again because these people are very, very good here. So what I am going to say to you is have a wonderful holiday season. And remember, do something nice for somebody today. Kindness, courtesy, and a little bit of charity costs nothing. And you'll feel better for it, and the whole world will be better for it. To my friend behind the scenes, thank you for keeping us on track, and thank you for getting me to and from the studio. Bye, everybody. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. And remember, do something nice for somebody today. You'll feel better, and they'll feel better. God bless.
Soon.